True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop, we've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is Coronavirus Daily. I'm Charles Feldman.
And I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. By now, we're familiar with the symptoms of COVID, even if we didn't get it. You know, fever, cough, you lose your taste and smell. But now there's some other symptoms to watch out for.
We'll look into why the FDA just doesn't go ahead and give full approval to the vaccines.
And cases of COVID keep creeping up across the country. Are we entering another danger zone?
Wearing masks and social distancing for the past year might actually have had a negative impact on all of us when it comes to our health.
We start, though, with headaches, other symptoms, and COVID. Dr. Kenzie Graves, internal medicine physician, hospitalist, University of Utah. Doctor, are you now seeing different kinds of symptoms?
So I want to first start by saying that the patients I see are generally a lot sicker. So I'm not seeing people early on in their illness. The symptom change study you're mentioning is from the Zoe COVID study. And so basically that is an app that people can go in and self-report their symptoms. And so that's what we're seeing. Just to be clear, those are not the patients I see. I reached out to our urgent care team and haven't heard back to see if that's what they are seeing. It would make sense that with the vaccine, people are getting less sick with COVID and may have more cold-like symptoms than the things we were warned about earlier, the high fever and the loss of taste and smell.
Yeah, so here's a question about that. Is this like breakthrough cases and the symptoms are different? Or is it that if you are out there and you're not vaccinated yet, or you don't have the full vaccination yet and you get the Delta variant, that Delta comes along with different symptoms, or maybe both?
I don't know that we have that level of granularity. So I think what we do know is that Delta is the predominant strain in certain parts of the United States. Utah, where I am, is one. It's also likely going to be the predominant strain across the United States here very quickly. So I think the majority of COVID-19 that we are seeing is the Delta variant. We are seeing breakthrough cases. I'm not totally sure every single one of those is Delta. I'm also not totally sure that Delta is responsible for changes in symptoms, though the Zoe COVID study is a global study. So again, self-reported symptoms, if we say that Delta is predominant, you could infer that, but no one has studied that direct question that I'm aware of.
Now, you said at the very beginning that you're seeing patients who are sicker, right? Are they vaccinated, unvaccinated? Are they younger, older? Is there a difference in the kind of patient you're seeing now who's very sick as compared to, say, a year ago?
Yes. So what we saw a year ago was mostly people that were older. So the average age of our hospitalized patient was somewhere in the 60s or 70s. Here in Utah, the majority of that age group now is vaccinated. So for us in Utah, people that are over 80, over 80% of those have received their full course of COVID vaccines. What we are seeing now is younger people, and the vast majority of them are unvaccinated. So here in our state, it's 95% plus of hospitalizations, deaths are people who have not gotten the COVID vaccine. There is a very rare sick breakthrough case, but that is not the vast majority. So what we see now is an age that's somewhere between 25 and 60, and that is different than what we were seeing before. So while there were small numbers of cases in younger age groups, this is the predominance that I've been seeing now.
Charles mentioned the things that we were told to look out for at the beginning, right, that we all memorized, the fever, the cough, and also on that list came to be loss of taste and smell. Has that one kind of fallen off the board a little bit?
It depends on really who the person responding to the Zoe COVID study was. And so with the Zoe COVID studies, I mentioned self-reporting. So people that were vaccinated had a little bit different symptoms than people that were not. Loss of taste and smell was less common than it was earlier. I don't think that means it's completely gone. The other thing I'll say is that even with the native strain of COVID, not everyone got a high fever. So there were studies at that time saying that about half of people had fevers. And so I think the point I would make here is that the Delta variant is almost twice as transmissible as the native variant. I think if you have any symptoms, so headache, runny nose, not feeling well, fatigue, muscle aches, considering that you might have COVID is a good thing, and getting tested is a good thing.
Let me go very quickly back to something that you said that I find interesting, because you're saying that compared to a year ago, it's a younger population. They tend to be unvaccinated and they are sicker. But of course, last year, nobody was vaccinated. So that would suggest that something else has changed, wouldn't it?
I think there's a lot that's changed. So the world has changed. So a year ago, all of us were buckled down at home. And if we were out socially, we're wearing masks. Right now, a lot of the world is open and looks a lot like the COVID pandemic is over, which it is not. And so with a virus that is more transmissible and with what we know, public health measures that work falling by the wayside, more people are likely getting sick.
Dr. Kenzie Graves, hospitalist, internal medicine physician, University of Utah Hospital. Doctor, thanks.
The FDA is still dragging its feet when it comes to giving full approval to the COVID vaccines, and this has us all wondering why.
Yeah, no problem in approving that Alzheimer's drug that some doctors say doesn't really work, but what about the vaccines? Dr. Erwin Redlener, director of the Pandemic Resource and Response Initiative, professor of health policy management at Columbia. So, doctor, the vaccines have gone into tens of millions of arms, so where's the approval?
Yeah, well, it's another kind of unresolved question, and a lot of people in the field don't exactly understand what the holdup is. But, you know, theoretically, what all these drugs and tests and whatever have gotten from the FDA to date is the so-called EUA, Emergency Use Authorization, which is a kind of a stamp of approval, but on a very preliminary level, waiting for more results to come in. Specifically, though, with vaccines, if we're looking for longer-term complications from the vaccines, that would be a pretty legitimate reason to wait. If there's any suspicion that, you know, it wasn't just after 2 months, but after 6 months or 9 months, there were complications. That might be the justification for holding off on the full, the full approval. That said, we really need to get this drug out there, and not only in the U.S. but around the world. So, and some people are actually reluctant to take the shot because they say it doesn't have full approval.
Well, I was going to make that point, isn't it a balance now between what you were saying before, that maybe the FDA wants to wait a lot more time just in case there are side effects that are not apparent in 6 months or a year? Maybe they're apparent in 3 years. Maybe they're not apparent for 10 years. Who knows, right?
Well, not they wouldn't wait for it, but they might wait for a year or two.
Okay. But you have to balance that, right, against people who are saying we don't want to get vaccinated because it's experimental.
Yeah, it's not exactly experimental, though, because the data they have to establish safety and efficacy at this point to get the EUA is really pretty good. And there's no reason to think that anything horrible is going to materialize in a couple of years from now. But, you know, that's a process that they have to approve of.
Yeah. I mean, are they looking at the same stuff that they looked at the first go around? Because it would be that same kind of data. It's just on a longer term basis. So if you're not waiting for some side effects in a year or 2 years, you're looking at all the same kind of info.
Yeah. But, you know, the fastest development and full approval of the vaccine happened with mumps. decades ago, the childhood disease mumps, and that took 4 years for full approval. So on the other hand, that was not a pandemic that killed 600,000 people in the United States alone. So yeah, there's a lot of competing factors here. I'm not sure how much we want to push the FDA, other than that point you guys are making, which is that if you are reluctant because you're waiting for full approval, I kind of get that, but you don't want to die in the meantime of COVID.
COVID cases are moving up across the country. Many hotspots are in areas with low vaccination rates.
Yeah, even places with high rates, you know, L.A., San Francisco, cases are creeping on up. So we're back with Dr. Redlener. Different now with the Delta variant. If you avoided earlier COVID, I mean, this one is going to find you.
It's a different ballgame. And what's so striking, guys, is that, the correlation between getting really sick and deaths from COVID is completely related to whether you're vaccinated or not. So if you are vaccinated, even fully vaccinated, you might get an infection, but it'd be mild or maybe asymptomatic. If you are not vaccinated, the chance of you dying compared to somebody else who gets the infection who is vaccinated is really, really high. 99%+ of the deaths with COVID in these last couple of weeks are COVID variant strains in people who are not vaccinated at all. If that's not a good enough warning for people, I really don't know what is.
I was going to say, how do you think you can get that message across? Maybe the better way to ask that is, what are we doing wrong? And I mean everybody in the messaging that I hear people all the time who say who are not interested in getting vaccinated. And they say, oh, but I know somebody, down the street and they got vaccinated and they got COVID anyway. So there. Is basically right. What they say.
So, this is an old story in public health. So everybody knows somebody who smoked till they were 90 and didn't get lung cancer. A lot of people don't get the annual flu shots because, they've never had it before. It doesn't resonate. This situation, though, it's really, really important that people pay attention to it. And I'll tell you, one of the more striking pieces of information is the fact that the lowest vaccination rates in the country in states are in states that voted for Trump. And you can do what you want with that, but there's a lot of serious skepticism on the states and people leaning right and leaning left. I don't know how you want to interpret that, but I think there are political reasons, there's ideological reasons, there's people that believe in cults and conspiracies. And that's a tough message because even if you say to them, you might die if you don't get vaccinated, that it's not enough to overpower some of these other more subtle reasons why people are refusing to get vaccinated. So if you're convinced that this is a, Biden conspiracy to do whatever to people to get vaccinated, then I think it's going to be very difficult to convince you on medical basis that you should get vaccinated.
Saw somebody writing the other day saying, if there's all this resistance in red states, Donald Trump got the vaccine, so did Melania. Yeah. So where's the PSA him there saying, no, really, guys, go and get this thing?
It's funny you mention that because I'm actually in the process of drafting an op-ed that says Donald Trump and Joe Biden were in a very effective partnership to get the vaccine. So, the Operation Warp Speed that Trump employed to get it made and then Biden's highly effective campaign to get it out there, they're actually partners. That's going to make them both cringe, but that's the fact of it,
Are we at the point, and maybe we should have been at the point even earlier, of mandatory vaccinations?
Well, I think so, but the federal government's not going to do that. However, private sector can do that. Every organization that runs arenas or sporting events or every hospital, they could tell people they're allowed legally to say, listen, you're not coming to work here if you're not vaccinated and we need proof of it. And I think if we see more and more of that, I think it'll get the word will get out in a different way than just coming from a government resource. So, I think I would be totally in favor of that approach, which is that employers demand that people at work are coming back or coming back to work can show that they've been vaccinated.
All right. Dr. Erwin Redlener there, Columbia University. Doctor, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
One of the benefits of social distancing and mask wearing is that many people say they avoided getting sick with other viruses that cause colds and the flu.
That was nice, right? No sniffles and you weren't coughing all the time. Turns out the immune system needs to practice, though. More people are getting colds now. Dr. Andy Pekosh is a molecular microbiologist, immunologist at Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. So, doctor, they call this immunity debt. What is that?
What it means is, even though with a disease, let's say like influenza, we have vaccines, but the fact that people get infected every year contributes to the general immunity that we have as a population. So when we go a year or 2 years without seeing a virus, more and more of the people don't have that immunity, that strong immunity to protect from infection, which means more and more of us would be susceptible to infection if that virus comes back. So those COVID-19 public health restrictions seem to have worked even better against viruses like influenza, RSV, and the common cold viruses. And so now that we're lifting those restrictions, we really are being really careful about monitoring for these other diseases to see if they're going to make a resurgence in the population.
Yeah, because we went through this whole thing, and then even some people go through normal life just trying not to get sick. That's the thing. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get sick. Well, we're supposed to pick up things here and there, even if we don't really realize it, right? It's supposed to test us, and that's how we build things. Like, let the kids play outside, that kind of stuff.
Yes, absolutely. To some extent, every time we get exposed to a virus that builds our immunity, it makes our next exposure to the virus less severe or sometimes even without symptoms. And it helps sort of build that broad-based immunity that we have. But it is important to note that with many infectious diseases, you do need a little bit of stimulus every couple of years to make sure that those immune responses are still strong and that they can bounce back relatively quickly. And again, that's one of the things that we're afraid that we're now lacking when it comes to some of our standard winter respiratory viruses.
Well, of course, you have people who are now saying, you know, even if you take COVID off the table, you know, fully immunized, the whole thing, we're never going to take our masks off ever again because we liked not having colds for the past year and a half and we don't want to ever have them again. Good or bad idea?
I don't think it's a bad idea at all. I think that we get exposed to things normally in a relatively high level to keep your immune system stimulated. I think anything we can do to limit the spread of some of these respiratory viruses is going to be good. Because let's remember that while most of the population, if they get a common cold, if they get influenza, you know, won't have very severe disease, there are always subsets of the population that can get very, very severe disease and are more prone to that severe disease. The common cold virus that most of us just sort of shrug off, that can be a stimulus in people with asthma for some severe asthma attacks. Influenza in the elderly populations and young children can be extremely dangerous. So we've got to think about the population as a whole and limiting spread in the population to prevent those subsets of the population that are going to be suffering from these severe effects of infection.
And if you're not in the subset and it's been the last few weeks and you've had your mask off and you start to realize that as soon as that thing came off, you thought you caught something or your allergies were bad or you got some sniffles, don't necessarily freak out?
Absolutely. I think many infectious disease hospitals, medical centers are now getting prepared to do what's called multi-testing, meaning that you submit one sample and we'll test it for flu, for RSV, for COVID, for all those things. In most parts of the country, COVID is on its way down, although we could do better with COVID vaccines to really reduce those cases more. But in the future, it'll be relatively straightforward for you to get a diagnosis if you have some sort of respiratory symptom and so you'll know for sure if you've got some other disease or if you have COVID-19.
Dr. Andy Pekosh, molecular microbiologist, immunologist, Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. Doctor, thanks.
Teenagers are a creative bunch. Some have figured out how to fake a positive COVID test by using soda, you know, pop, social media videos with the hashtag fake COVID test show people applying various liquids to rapid antigen COVID-19 tests. Researchers in Britain tested it out. All four liquids tested with artificial sweeteners produced negative results in rapid COVID-19 tests, as did spring water. But 10 of 14 soft drinks produced positive or weakly positive results, with no apparent link between the test results and the soft drinks ingredients.
This is an Odyssey original. Find us and other podcasts on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.